Today's daf in the Sechet Nida brought to you from Johannesburg is daf Yud Beit. We just discussed yesterday, in Yud Aleph Yud Beit, that even though it says in the Mishnah that a woman has to check herself before being Mishameshet, this is dafka, according to Shmuel, only, says Rabbi Yoram Shmuel, only if she's been a Suka Betarot. But if she's not a Suka Betarot, there is no takona of making a Medika at all for her husband. So there we said, is that not part of the Mishnah Beferish later on that says Kol Anashim Becheskat Tarava Aleihen? And the Gemara explained yesterday that from that Mishnah it would have said that perhaps that's only referring to a woman who has a veset. But a woman who has no veset should actually require bedika because he never knows when she might see. So we said, but isn't the Mishnah talking about an Isha Sheyesh La Veset? That's our Mishnah. It says Beferish, Isha Sheyesh La Veset has to check before. No. And the Gemara answered yesterday that our Mishnah is across the board. It's just that it's saying, even though she has a veset, nonetheless, if she's being asuka b'taharot, she does require a bedika for her husband. That's where we were up to. Today we need to continue from the Ha'amra Shmuel Chodazimna. So asks the Gemara, you've said that the entire Kiddush of Shmuel is that there's no din of bedika lebaala in a case where she's not asuka b'taharot, whether she has a veset kavua or she doesn't have a veset kavua. But did not Shmuel essentially already say that? The Omer Abizera, Omer Ababa Bar Yirmia, Omer Shmuel. Here is Shmuel, this time being quoted by Abizera, not by Rabbi Yehuda. We'll see this is significant later. But didn't he quote Shmuel as saying, Isha she'en la veset, we're seven lines up, no? Isha she'en la veset, asura la shamesh achetivdok. Although Shmuel said that a woman who does not have a veset is not allowed to have relations with her husband unless she bodeket, we proved from the response that Rabbi Zera gave for Shmuel that that's talking about ukim na basuka betarot. That case is bedavka talking about where she is going to come into contact with Tarot. But if not, then she would not be bodeket. So basically, we already know the chiddush that Rabbi Yehuda is quoting over here, namely that the Mishnah that says that she's mechuyevet to be bodeket before Tashmish has to be referring to Dafka, a case where she's asuka b'taharot. It's exactly the same statement. Answers the Gemara, well, it could be chodan michlal chaverta itma, that actually this statement, one comes out of the other. It's not that there were two separate statements, and that actually Shmuel just said one, and out of it we derived the other, because it's essentially the same statement. Tanya Nami Achi, and in fact there is a brayta that supports Shmuel, which says, Bamet devarim amurim letaharot, aval lebaala mutaret. When do we say that she needs to do a bedika? That's dafke, if she's asuka b'taharot, doesn't mean for taharot. It says beferish, she needs to do the bedika for her husband. But what type of woman needs to do the bedika for her husband? Letaharot, a woman who is oseket for taharot. But if she's married and does not have any esek with taharot, so then she wouldn't require a bedika. That's exactly what Shmuel was saying. When do we say that kol anashim are becheskas tayra labale, and that's only if the husband had left the home, leaving her not in the state of nidot? If, however, he had left her in a state of tumah, then he can never assume that she's tahora. And over there, la'olani b'tumata, we'll see the implications of this a little later today, but he is not allowed to assume that the wife that he left behind is Anita, even though there was time for her to be mitara to go to the mikveh. He's not allowed to assume that she went to the mikveh. We've spoken about the chiyuv of being bedek. The question is, is there perhaps value in her being bodeket without a chiyuv? In other words, suppose she's not a suka b'tarot, but she wants to be machmer on herself to be bodeket. So is it just that the rabbanon weren't mechayev her to be bodek, or but there's really a value to doing bedika, or is the din of bedika bedavka meaningful in a case where she's a suka b'tarot and has no meaning in application to her husband at all? Omar lei, so Rabbi Yehuda told him, no, she should not be bodek. Not be bodek? What's wrong if she's bodek? Tivdok, ma bekach, what does she lose if she's being bodek? Because in Cain, libono kfo uporesh, if she's bodek before, he will assume that, why is she being bodeket? I mean, I know in the case where she was a suka betara, she had a chiyuv to be bodek, okay. But over here, he's thinking to himself, something must be wrong. Why is she bodeket? She's not chiyuv to be bodeket. She must have felt something funny. I'm not going to take any chances with these women. They're not going to be bodek properly. So he's going to end up not sleeping with her. So Mimela, there is no value. We certainly don't want to encourage any breakdown in marital relations. But because of that, it's better not to be bodeket at all. Boimne Rababa mi Ravuna. Rababa asked Ravuna the other direction. You're talking about before Tashmish. But what about being bodeket atzma la'achar Tashmish and to be dafke bodek kishur veset? Should she be bodek herself, a real bedika? And remember, the word bedika means that she goes into nooks and crannies to see if there was any tam. And as we explained before, a shiur veset is instantaneous. In other words, the instant that he withdraws, she has to put in her hand. If it takes any longer than that to get to the place where the blood might be, then it's not considered to be a shiur veset. Veset over here, once again, to remind you not to be confused with the idea of veset, period. But veset meaning time. And here it means the same time, shiur veset. So in this case, if she would find dam, so then that would be mechayev, her husband, a korban. So, and her a korban, which is her husband, because he pays for the korban. So, Mimela, perhaps there's an inyan to find out whether she's mamish Tamea. And this is afterwards, before Rabbi Yehuda was talking about before Tashmish, but now already what's done is done. What are you talking about, man? It's impossible to do a bedika kashir veset by definition. There's not enough time, kashir veset, to do a proper bedika. Omar le mimash kachat la levedika kishir veset. Understand what you're asking? Did we not say later on v'atanya ezo shiur veset? What exactly defines the meaning of a shiur veset? Mashal le shamash ve'ed shamdim betzad hamashkof biyitziyot hashamash nichnas ha'ed. So over here, it's sort of imagine to yourself it would be as if the butler is standing at the door and you've got somebody now who's supposed to be witnessing the murder. So in this case, of course, the shamash means the penis. We said that's shamash tashmish. And the aid represents the cloth that she uses. So the door, of course, represents the vaginal opening. So over here, the case would be, basically, as he withdraws, b'yitziat shamash, nichnas aid. Have, so then by definition, it would mean that the word veset precludes a bedika, because a bedika takes longer than that. And therefore, the bedika would only be nogea kinuach. It would only be nogea taking a swipe at the vagina, but not doing a bedika. Velola bedika. So your question makes no sense. You cannot do a bedika b'shir veset. It's absolute nonsense what you're saying. The definition of a veset is that you can't do a bedika. Sorry, okay, I used the wrong word. What I meant was maush tikaneach. Should she wipe off the opening of her vagina, and that could be done by she or Vesta, just in case. Maybe she'll find blood. Or, Ikadiyamri, another way of asking the question is, that achaboy mine, isha maushe tivdok atzma, kedele chayev bala sham talui. If she begins her bedika immediately after the Shir Veset, that would be enough to be Machai Vemanashim Talui. As a suffix, maybe she was Rayadam. In any event, whatever the question was, what he answered him was, no. Amar lo tivdok. She should not be bodeket. Well, why? V'tivdok u'ma b'kach, what do you care? Because even though here it's talking about after Tashmish, but nonetheless, the very fact that he knows that she is going to be bodeket is enough to get him nervous. And libo nokfo uporesh. Just by the way, in reality, this case would not be mechayev in the case of an isha sheyesh lavesa, would not be mechayev a ashem tali, and certainly not a kar mechatas, because in where there's no reason to believe that a woman will be roya dam, any re'iyah of dam is considered to be an ones, not a shogeg. And ones is not mechuyev of any type of karma. So no reason to be chershish at all. This is sort of like an act of God. So what it means is, so that in a similar case, if we were talking about an isha she'in lavesa. Okay, but in any event, this is, we'll get more into the difference between the two cases later. So the Mishnah says that b'sha'ah she'hi overet l'shabeshet beita. So we've got two sets of bedikas. One set is morning and evening. That's obviously, to be, as we said before, to be makshir the leftovers of truma from before or the future. The other is at the time that she's going to sleep with her husband. Omer Abamai, Omer Abiyanai, Zeo Adan Shotziniot. This is the aid that we talk about, or idan it might mean, which is the zman. This is the zman that the tznuot later on are bodek, because it says later on, hatznuot mitaknot lehem shlishi letakenat habayit. This, what it's referring to, is a takenat habayit, to do a bedika before tashmish. So if you're calling it tznuot, what you're meaning is that it's beyond the call of duty. So it's a midat chasidut, essentially. Omar le rababa barmam le rabami. What are you talking about? The Mishnah says, tzrichot liot bodeket, that she has to be bodeket morning and evening, and bishar shi mishameshet. And you're telling me that this is midat chasidus? That tznuot do this? I don't understand what that means. So tana tani tzrichot, va'atani tznuot? Omar le, wow. You could say that kol ha'mekayim divrei chachamim nikrat sanua. Maybe that's what it's referring to. If she does what it is that's required of her, that's called anisha tsanua. Amar Rava, that's very misleading. Because what are you saying? If she would not do what's required of her, so then she's not a tsanua. Maybe she's not a tsanua, she's a rasha. So it's all... So therefore, it makes no sense to give the name Tzanua, because the implications would be completely misleading. You're telling me Tzanua would allow mikre, a Rasha lo mikre. You wouldn't call such a person a Rasha, not doing a fundamental chiyah. Elo amar Rava. You know what the meaning is of this is idan shotznuot. What it means is there's something additional that Tzanuot do, and that is Tzanuot. A woman who is specifically tzanua, she wants to make sure that she's using a completely white and bright aid in order to do the bedika, so that even a tiny little bit of blood will show up on it in high contrast. So if she already used it prior to some other intercourse and it was clean, she will not reuse it, because the very fact that she used it has left it unclean, not bloody, but unclean. And because of that, she'll badafka go out to get a new one. Mashenke and Isha, that is not tsanua, will be botkot. V'loich patlem, and they wouldn't care. So when Rabbi Yanai was quoted as saying that this is what is being referred to later on, that tsanua termakbidan, is specifically this cloth, not the normal cloth of a bedika. So zehu, in other words, the part of the Mishnah that says b'shahah sheyoveret l'shamesh et beita, because there the Rishonim explained since when you're talking about prior to Tashmish, that is a time in which there's a lot of vaginal fluids. And those fluids are going to dirty the aid. So because of that, she will not reuse it. That's because she's sexually aroused. But at the normal time, she's doing a bedika, arvit v'shacharit, that's a bedika that doesn't necessarily dirty the aid. And therefore, even a tzanua wouldn't be makpid to use bedafka another one. So what he's coming to say is, this part of the Mishnah is what is referred to later on when we were talking about the tznuot. And Rav explaining, and what is it unique about tznuot? That they're makpid to use a brand new aid. In these issues, the sensitivity to issues of womanhood is always referred to as tznua. Even though you're right, it means in this case tznua doesn't mean the normal meaning. But we recognize that this type of behavior is coming from a sense of vulnerability, and not stam chasidus biyama to be machmer. It's not that she's machmer like there's a shita that holds. It's because of her concern for the vulnerability of riyazdam, and that itself is an inyan of tznius and busha. That's a very good question. Now, Gufa, let's get back to the mimer that triggered this entire discussion. We started yesterday with Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiyah, Rabbi Shmuel. Isha she'in laveset, asura l'shamesh, achitivdok. So it's also for her to be a mishameshet, unless she's bodeket herself. Omerle, Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiyah, I don't understand. What in the world is he talking about? He's saying only a woman that doesn't have a veset. So you're saying, Ein la veset boi bedika, yesh la veset lo boi bedika. The Mishnah says, kol isha she yesh la veset, it's referring to. So afal pi she yesh la veset, nonetheless, pamayim tzircha liyot bodeket u'bishah, she ba la shemeshet bita. So what Shmuel is coming to argue on the Mishnah, I understand what this means. Why is he saying only an isha she'in la veset? Omar Lei, now obviously, gentlemen, the first thing that strikes you is that maybe Shmuel wasn't talking about the case of the Mishnah at all. Maybe this is a completely different discussion. The Mishnah is talking about the takana of an Isha who is a Sukkah Bataris. Shmuel didn't say anything about a Sukkah Bataris. So maybe he's coming to say, forget about Tyrus. A woman doesn't have a normal period. She doesn't know when she's going to be Raya Dan. She has to check before sleeping with her husband. What is so crazy about that? We're going to see that there are shitas like this later on. And yet, for some reason, the Gemara is going to ask this question later on. Why are we going to find some complex answer when the answer is staring you in the face? Now, we already know, of course, ourselves, because we've just learned it, that the Mishnah, because we asked something about it, didn't Shmuel already say that when he made this statement? So we understand that that means that ultimately we're going to discover that Shmuel's statement was only a reference to Anisha, who is Asuka Bataris. That's the only reason we said it's a redundant statement, because he already explained the Mishnah as referring only to Anisha that's Asuka Bataris. But right now we're pretending we don't know that first statement, we don't know the Gemara before. This is the first time we've heard it. That's what gufa means. Let's look at it from a naive point of view. Shmuel is saying something that contradicts the Mishnah. For some reason, instead of Shmuel addressing this by saying, no, I'm not. I'm talking about where she's not a Sukkah Bataris. He doesn't say that. Instead, we come up with an answer. Omar Lei, there's a big difference, says Rabbi Zera, who's the one that's explaining the Shmuel that he's quoting. Omar Lei, there's a big difference because if she has a veset, then she does need a bedika, as the Mishnah said. But she only needs a bedika if she's awake. If she's sleeping, she doesn't need a bedika. Now, this is a combination of issues, because by definition, in the state of sleep, she will not be a woman who's a Sukkah Batarot. Because she's asleep. She said, okay, and if she's watching TV, I mean, I understand that, okay, watching TV, she could get up to grab herself a truma Coke. I mean, yes. And if she's asleep, she's not. But I mean, when we say Isha Asuka B'Taharot, we never mean at that exact minute. Okay, but there already it's a judgment issue. Are the Rabbanim going to be mechayev you to wake a woman up? She should get up, go to the bathroom, do all fancy bedikas. I mean, no. So that's really saying that the reason that I'm saying that if she ain't la bedika, she requires a bedika, ain't la vesed, she requires a bedika, is because over there, even if she's yeshena, she requires a bedika. And that's still considered to be a suk b'taris for her. So Yeshla Veset, there's a difference. It's a difference in an issue we didn't talk about yet. And that is if she is wide awake. So then Boy Bedika, if she's asleep, the reason I say wide awake is because you're really not allowed to sleep with a woman who is asleep. Intercourse requires intercourse, not using a woman. So Mamela, when it's talking about Eirav versus Yeshena, it's highly unlikely that Shmuel is talking about a case where a guy is going to be using a woman to relieve his own sexual needs. That's inappropriate. So therefore, Eirav would mean wide awake. Yeshena would mean that she's like half asleep. So Eirav boy bedika, Yeshena lo boy bedika. But ein la veset, bein Eirav bein Yeshena boy bedika. If she doesn't have a veset, you're going to have to wake her up entirely that she should go out to make a bedika. Omar Rava, whoa, that's unbelievable that he said that. He had such a simple answer. He should have just said that we're talking about a case where she's not a Sukkah B'Tayres, and therefore, ain't Achinami. She doesn't need to make a Bedika at all, unless she doesn't have a Veset. So she doesn't know when she's going to be Raya Dam, and that's why she's making a Bedika. But this has nothing to do with the Mishnah. So Lema, like, why didn't Rabbi Zeir just say, what are you talking about? This has nothing to do with our Mishnah. We mean Yesh La Veset only La Taharot Boy Bedika. She wouldn't need a Bedika La Ba'ala Lo Boy Bedika. I'm coming to tell you over a new mimer of Shmuel that if Ein La Veset, then even for her husband without a Sukkah B'Tayra, she's going to require a Bedika. Now I say, says Rava, it's very clear to me that since that wasn't the explanation that Rabbi Zeira offered as to what Shmuel had said, that must mean that Shmuel indeed would not have said that. And that what Shmuel was saying is that Kasava Shmuel kol ba'ala lo boy bedika, that remarkably, even an Isha she'ein la veset never has to check herself for her husband. And that when the Mishnah later on says, that we quoted before, that kol isha's becheska tahara la ba'ala, that means whether she has a veset kavua or doesn't have a veset kavua. Having once defined herself as tohara, until she actually is Roi Adam, she's considered to be tohara. Unless, of course, enough time had passed that she vada would have been Roi Adam. That's not what we're talking about. Turn around on it. So now let's take a look at this braita. Here it says that people that go on trips away from the house, Chamarim, so they are caravan drivers, Pu'alim, itinerant workers, or someone who traveled to another city to be Menachem Avel, Haba'im mi Beit Avel, or mi Beit HaMishteh, had to go attend a wedding. So the din is when they come home, Nisheyem lehem becheskat Torah, their wives are considered to be Tohorot, Uba'in v'shohinimahem, and they can come and lie with them in bed, Bein Yishenot, Bein Eirot, everything is fine. Ba'med v'orim amurim, only of course, Shinichan b'cheskat Torah, where over here he had left home, and they were Torahot, Avalin Yichyon, b'cheskat Tum'ah, then la'olam yitme'ah, if she had been Tme'ah, then for sure she's considered to be Tme'ah, unless she says Torah ani.
Why don't we take into
consideration
the length of time that he's been gone?
We do. It's obvious that we're taking that. That's why I mentioned before we started this, obviously if she's been gone long enough, that she would have been Roy, of course. It means he's been away for a whole day and he doesn't know. Now, the problem is, how exactly is Shmuel going to explain this braita? Because, look, if we're talking about that this woman has a vessel, so then, why does it say over here, Ibi Yeshla Veset? So we said Dafka, if they come home, Bein Yeshenot, Bein Erot. So if we Yeshiyesh Lavei said, so then Kasha Era. Because Shmuel was the one who said before that there's a nafkamina between a woman who has a vessel and a woman who has no vessel. So if, and the answer that we gave, remember, is that there's a big difference between the two cases. The two cases are, if yesh la veset, then only era boi bedika, yeshena lo boi bedika. So in the case of the era, it says over here she doesn't need a bedika. So she's becheska stara. But Shmuel said that in the case even of an isha she yesh la veset, although if she's sleeping, she doesn't need a bedika, but if she's wide awake, she doesn't need a bedika. And here it says, no, even if she's wide awake, she doesn't need a bedika. So how do you explain that? She doesn't need a bedika. Now, Tosis points out that we're not ready to say, maybe it's talking about over here a case where she's not a sukkah b'taras. Because the Gemara is taking for granted that the double lashon of cheskatan, tahara, uba'in v'shohini mayhem, which obviously if she's b'cheskas tahara, then that's what you're saying. It's coming to include all cases, therefore. I want to reiterate, even if she's a sukkah b'taharot, ba'in v'shohinima, that's not the problem. Now, if we're talking about that she does not have a veset, then both cases are impossible to understand. So then, both Yeshena and Eira don't make any sense, because according to Shmuel, the din is you're going to have to wake her up. Now, if Shmuel hadn't said what he said, he hadn't explained it in terms of waking her up, I could have understood that the bright as goof is saying that a woman, b'shah, that she's sleeping, is not considered to be a sukkah b'taris and never needs a bedika. But once Shmuel already said, if ein la veset, she absolutely requires a bedika, even if she's fast asleep, now there's no way to get out of this bright, according to Shmuel. That's why I'm asking Zakash on Shmuel. I had a problem with Shmuel. Because otherwise, I'd have a way out of this pickle. Answers the Gemara, La'olam b'shiyesh la'veset. It is talking about that she does have a veset. So then, if she has a veset, then why is it that she doesn't have to be bodeket? If she's a ra, that Shmuel said she does. Answers the Gemara, because kiv'an she'tava'a, since in this case he's come from being away for a while, so now that we're saying this, it can't just be for a day. He's been away for a while, not long enough to assume that her period has come, but long enough for her to have missed him. So once she misses him, there the norm is to give her some extra foreplay. Now that's Tava'a. In other words, he makes her realize that he wants to sleep, but there is nice to her, and so on. That itself is the equivalent of a bedika, because that's or it gives her time to respond, and in that time she's going to think over whether there was any chashash at all that maybe she was raya, and if there's any sense in her that she better be bodeket, she'll be bodeket. So that's the equivalent of a bedika. That tvi'a, kivan shetava'a, so it's coming out according to this bright. This is the way Rashi understands it. Aliba, most of the Mefarshim Rashi. So that what this bright is telling us, that being tovea sexually is the equivalent of a bedika. And even though she doesn't actually go check herself, the time that is involved in her thinking about the whole issue, whether she really feels comfortable in having relations with him, and she thinks over what has happened over the course of the day, that's really the meaning of the bedika. Because the point of the bedika here is not really that there's a chashash of Ria, but rather that she's not paying close attention. So the bedika forces her to pay attention. The tvi'ah is even better than a bedika. That's the best bedika. It's totally new way of looking. But it's only the gabi, the bedika, mishameshes. Because remember that this whole point is a plus that we're adding, that since she's a sukkah b'taharos anyway, we'd like her to pay more attention to her husband than normally a woman would. And we don't consider that to be messing up the relationship. Normally, it's messy to start worrying about tuma, because really, tuma is irrelevant in personal relations. Only real nidus is relevant. So once people are used to the idea of thinking about, you know, am I tummy, am I tar, that's like a whole different lifestyle. It's a completely different lifestyle. So what to us is messy just about sexual relations, they're always messy. But this makes it messier because you got to think about all types of body fluids and stuff. But if anyway you're thinking about body fluids, so then that's, you don't relate that to sex. You're just relating it to the fact that people have a tendency to get tummy. Mamela, we have this additional thing. Okay, so pay attention to the issues of tuma when it comes to your husband. But that doesn't mean that it's really the same nature of bedika. This is the chiddush of this braita. Again, this is how Rashi understands it. There are many who explain it otherwise. According to this explanation, when Rav Papa now, Amalei Rav Papa LaRava, when he asks, Ma'o lemevat ki hamatnit, what he's asked, can we rely on this? Or shall we do this? So then, if he's asking, shall we rely on this braita, then what he could be asking is, look, we just had a sugya a minute ago that said it's better not to be bodeg because then libo is part, is going to be nokvo parish, right? So better not to be. So now, how about not doing that? Okay? Don't you're right, fine. Don't make a bedika. But you just came up with this brilliant chiddush that actually it is possible to substitute a tviyah for a bedika. So lemaisa, if you are going to want to be makbid, so maybe what you should do is always go out of your way for making certain that she does the equivalent to bedika, namely, always be toveya her and never come suddenly to have sexual relations. That way, you've essentially done the equivalent of a bedika because you've made her think through the issue. If she thinks through the issue, so then you've done your job. So this should give like a whole different approach to the problem. Because we were thinking, oh, no, she's going to be bodeket, he's going to be bonokfo. But like this, it's basically part of the sexual experience. You're exciting her. In your mind, the reason you're doing that is because you want to make sure that she pays attention to any possibilities that she would be to be on. And on this, he answered, even this is no good. Sudani. Now, Sudani is interesting because that's a double meaning. And it's applied to Rav Papa. Rav Papa was a very famous beer maker. And he had a stomach to prove it, as the Gemara said. Enormously fat. And he used to drink beer all the time, because that was his business. Now, a beer manufacturer was a Sudan. But since a Talmud Chacham is called Sod Hashem Lirayav, so it's a play on words. So Sudanoi would mean Hashem, Noi, that's Shem Hashem, Sod Hashem to you. But it also means, you know, hey, Mr. Beery. So he said to him, Sodani, lo, even this is not kedai to do. Why? Because Meganya Beape. The point is, look, it's all very nice to say that he is doing it in a nice way, but he knows what he's doing. He's paying attention to the question of, oh, God, we got to worry about Nina's business again. You know, the sex stuff, it just isn't worth it. It's too complicated. So because of that, he's going to be poreish. And because of that, even this he shouldn't do. So this is a very simple explanation of the sugya. Let's go with it. Omer of Kahana. Well, you know, I wanted to find out behind the scenes from the women in the household of Rav Papa, how he did himself. So I went into the house and I spoke to them. You know, I went to the Inche Beite of Rav Papa and Rav Winnebred, Rav Yehoshua, and I asked them, let me ask you something. When the rabbis come back from a long trip, you know, they spent the whole week in the Beis Medrash, they would come back Friday night, do they ask you to do a bedika? And they said, no. Vomerli lo. I don't get it. Why did he ask them? I mean, couldn't he ask? I mean, they were alive. Why couldn't he ask the husbands? I mean, this is pretty weird. V'lishalinu l'didu? Why doesn't he ask them? No, because, see, if you ask Rav Pop, Rav Pop will tell you, no, it's not Kedar. You're going to be worried about the Nidas. Then you're going to sleep with them. It's not worth it. But maybe he himself, for himself, was marked to do it. He just doesn't want to tell other people because he doesn't trust their emotions about the issue. But he knows, I can handle it. So I'm going to make sure that she does a bedika. And maybe this was only a public psak. But in private, they're machmer on themselves. So I wanted to find out whether when he said, no, don't do that, he meant nobody should do that, or he meant I shouldn't do that.
Speaking to the snort. He lost the snort.
Yeah.
But why would they reveal it to the snort?
So therefore, he asked them directly, the women, Tan Rabbana. Now here, we enter into a machloket Tanaim, which it's going to be clear is not nogea lahalacha, at least according to the way we're going to learn this sugya. There are approaches, such as Rabbeinu Hananel, who learned that it is nogea lahalacha. But again, let's take the common approach. Tan Rabbana. Isha she'en la veset. This is Rabbi Meir Shita. If a woman does not have a period, a well-defined period, she is not allowed to have sex with her husband. Asur l'shamesh. Now, it's a question later on whether this is literal or whether it means that midioraita, remember the 7-11 veset, in which the first riyas dam is matamir for 7 days, after which you have 11 days, any dam that she sees during that time is considered to be, by definition, dam of zivot and not dam of nidot, which would mean that the Torah is essentially saying she's definitely not presumed to bleed after those first 7 days. And if there's any bleeding, on the contrary, the Torah is saying that's not dam nidot. Which would mean, afilo alib de Rabbi Meir, she definitely has 11 days following whatever nidos she had seen. So it's not strictly true that she cannot be mishamish. However, because of the fact that that would be a rather frustrating existence, to only be able to sleep with your wife 11 days after her period, and then whatever, however much time comes afterwards, you're not supposed to sleep with her. The end result is you're going to end up sleeping with her. It's a suffix, you know, mash. You know. So because of that, Rabbi Meir, Tainet, you shouldn't sleep with her as a sense of kviut, and you should divorce her. Ve'inla lo ktuva, she doesn't get her ktuva, ve'lo peirot, she doesn't get if you ate, meanwhile, nichse malug, and then it turns out that she bleeds without a period, you don't have to repay her. Ve'lo mezonot, and if you go overseas, Bezdin does not yoret your property to collect mezonot for her. Ve'lo bela'ot, nor if you use the semachlokes, but lechor lahalacha. Normally, blaot means the use of the nechasim that were not nichsei melug. Remember, there's two nechasim, nichsei melug, which is you have a right to the produce of her property, but not to the property itself. And then there's nichsei tzon barzel, where you are using things, but you have a specific value that we write in the ketuvah, and you owe her that value, whatever happens to them. You accept full responsibility. That's what's called tzon barzel. In this case, the bela'ot, normally we're talking about bela'ot, would be the tzon barzel that was damaged in use, and now it's all worn out. So you'd have to replace that. Because after all, normally you took responsibility for its full value. In this case, it can't mean that. Or it could mean whatever was totally used up. Now, in this case, when we would say velo bela'ot, it can't mean that if the thing is still extant, you wouldn't return it to her. Although some do say that. Velo bela'ot, because of course, if it's there, it's hers. We're only talking about the use of it. That was, so it's a little confusing. You say velo belot, the pashtut is the thing itself. And furthermore, yotzi, he has to divorce her. And lo machzir olamit, he's never allowed to take her back. So, and we're going to explain all this in a minute. So Beit Din tells him at the time that he gives her divorce, look, you have to understand that giving this woman a divorce, you're agreeing that it's usher to marry her again. Give her Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Hanina ben Hatikna says, why? What's the problem? All you need to do is Mishameshet Pishnei Edim. All that happens is that we've got to make certain that she wasn't Roy Adam, right? So fine. So she uses the Edim that we spoke about, and Hein Ivtua, Hein Tiknua. Look, I mean, if it turns out that there was any bleeding, so then fine. So then we know she's not able to sleep with her husband. If Lamaika, she's clean, so then she is able to sleep with her husband. So what's the big deal? Mishum Abachana Namru, we're going to go back to all this. Mishum Abachana Namru, Oy lo lo bala, oy ya ya, this poor husband. Now again, we don't know what that means. The Gemara is going to explain it. So let's go through the Braita now from the beginning. Rabbi Meir said, Asura l'shamesh. Why is she not allowed to sleep with her husband? Dilma mikalkelatle. Because we're afraid that she's going to end up messing him up by having him sleep with Anita. Ve'in la ketuvah, well, the reason she has no ketuvah is kimin lochazia levia, since according to Rabbi Meir, she is not allowed to have sex with him. The whole point of the ketuvah is to create the context for a sexual relationship. If she's unable to do that, then the ketuvah is bottle. Velo perot, velo mizonot, velo belaot, because all of those things are essentially additional tna'im in the ketuvah, and the rule is tna'i ketuvah ki ketuvah dam. Wherever there's no main ketuvah of the money that you're going to pay her for divorce or death, then there's also no tna'i ketuvah. And why do we say yotzi velo yachzir al amit? Now, we thought that that meant that if he divorces her, he can't remarry her. Well, obviously he can't remarry him, it's the same problem. Why a year later is not a problem? That's what we thought it meant, which of course is ridiculous. Pshita, I mean, that's a trivial statement. If the point is to get her out, why would you be able to take her back? Ah, no, the point of here is that if she gets a period now that is well-defined, you can't take her back. Lotzrich da'adar v'itkana. Because you might have said, okay, great, so now I'll take her back. I was only not allowed to keep her because the rabbanim were afraid that she would tempt me into sex at a time that is usher. So I might think you could take her back. Kamashmalan, that Bezdin tells you up front that you can't take her back. That's the meaning of being allowed to take her back. Why is that? Because let's imagine that she went and married somebody else. And with this other guy, she has a period, no normal period. So Kamashra Dazimna Dazun Mitzvah Mitakna. So now this guy says, what? How come this guy's not divorcing her? Well, he doesn't have to divorce her. When she married him, she got a regular period. Well, if I would have known that she could have gotten a regular period, I never would have divorced her. Meanwhile, she's got five kids and grandchildren and so on. They're all mom's errand. I want her back. I never gave her that get. Now, this is not a very pleasant situation. Even though the Maisa perhaps wouldn't be able to carry this through in court, but we don't want people talking about this. So, and he'll say, Ilo ayiti yodea shekach haya. You know, this was the love of my life. I feel ayitim notin and mea money could pay me $1,000,000. Lo ayiti megash, I never would have given her a get. So then that would mean that the get would be bata, at least he's claiming it would be bata. Her children are all mamzerim. So therefore, we have to tell him up front, look, there's no excuses for ever taking her back. You can't get her back. Now, when Abba Chanan said, oy lo labala, what did he mean? Oy lo labala. Well, some say he meant he was passing like Rabbi Meir, that they're not allowed to live together, but he's saying, that this guy is out in both directions. He can't keep her. And Bez is going to force him to give her a get, but he's going to have to pay the ketubah. Because since, theoretically, he could sleep with her during the 11 days following the nidot, because over there, dioraita, she can't become a nida. And that would mean that it's not normal to be. Any blood that would come at that time is considered to be dam zivei, so why would I expect that she would be a zava? That's ridiculous. But it's the rabbanan who don't trust him. It's because the rabbanan don't trust him, they say she's going to persuade him to have sex at other times. So because of that, she's not going to lose her ketuvah. So therefore, this guy's up the creek without a paddle. He's got to be megarasher. But he also can't say, I'm not going to give you a ketuvah. So it's a question really who we're looking at. If we're blaming her for enticing him, overblaming him for not being able to withstand his temptation outside of those 11 days. Others say, no, no, that's not what Abba Chanan. Abba Chanan is saying, Rabbi Chanina ben Atignus, you really think that we're going to rely on this aid? You know? Yeah, okay, but let me tell you something. This poor guy, definitely, one time or another, he's going to end up sleeping with Anita. Then they'll find the blood afterwards. So, Oyla the Ba'ala, he's just pointing out that the Mikakeletle. Amr of Yidam Rishmo, Halacha Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus. Now, this doesn't really make any sense. What do you mean, Halacha Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus? I mean, what are we talking about? Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus says, rely on the aid, and she should use Shneidim before and after. He uses an aid. So what did he mean? Did he mean that she's Asuka B'Taharot? So, I mean, that's not like Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus is saying, nothing to do with Taharot. I know what you're talking about, Taharot. This woman's got a problem. She's going to be Roya Dam, Asura for her husband. Make sure that she is not a Nida. She requires a Bedika. Now, we know that Shmuel himself said clearly, a woman never needs a Bedika, even if in La Veset, unless she's Asuka B'Taharot. That was what we just saw that Shmuel said. So if he's telling me that, well, for all intents and purposes, if she's being Asuka B'Taharot, then it's true. She's going to be using Bedikas for Tashmish. I mean, that's a trivial statement. Shmuel's already made that statement. I mean, he's not really saying halakas like Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, because he's only saying it when she's Asuka B'Taharot. So he profoundly argues with Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus. Ah, you'll say, how can Shmuel argue both on Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus? I mean, it's just an amora. But that's clear. We already saw the Mishnah later on that says, Kol Isha b'chazkat tara levala. So he's relying on that Mishnah Ketzurata. You want to come along? That's a Stam Mishnah. You want to come along now and be machber in a case with Ein Laveset? I don't buy into that at all. I'm going along with the Mishnah later. Now you'll say, but our Mishnah says that you need to do a bedika before and after sex. No, that's talking about a Sukkah B'Taharos. But normally, you're not even allowed to do a bedika. So this statement, one way or the other, doesn't make sense. Either it's redundant, or it's not true. So ask the Gemara Bamai, what are we talking about when he says, Halachak Rabbi Chanina ben Tignos? If it's talking about a Sukkah B'Taharos, that all he means is that if, anyway, she's a Sukkah B'Taharos, so l'maisa we were mitaken shnei edim. Shmuel already said that. Omer Shmuel chodazim. Iba she'ina asuka b'tarot, and if she was not being asuka b'tarot, then he said specifically not like that, that a woman who is not asuka b'tarot, and the only issue is she tohara for her husband? Shmuel said, kol l'ba'ala, I don't care what the situation is, even without a veset, lo boy b'dika. Because that's what we said. We said, Amr Abizera, Amr Barba Bar Yirmiah, that's not what we started with today. Gufa. Amr Abizera, Amr Barba Bar Yirmiah, Amr Shmuel, Isha She'en La Veset Asura, L'Shamesh Achetiv Dog. And we asked, how do you explain that in light of the Mishnah that says it doesn't matter if she has a Veset or doesn't? And we prove for Rabbi Zera's answer that according to Shmuel, there will never be a reason to be bodeket unless you're Asuka B'Taharot. So he already said that she's only going to be bodeket ukina la Asuka B'Taharot. So then how do you explain the redundancy? Either it runs against contradiction to Shmuel, or it's redundant. Answers the Gemara, because, look, mandamat neha lo mat neha, look, I mean, it's two different people who are saying this over. So when we paskin over here that Shmuel says, you should know, Halacha Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus. Who quoted Shmuel in saying that? Rabbi Yehuda. Who was the one who was quoting Shmuel, Benogea, the overall psak, that Isha She'en Laveset, etc.? Rabbi Zera. So, fine, they're reporting the same statement in different ways. Nobody would have repeated this, because you're right, it's a redundant statement. There is one serious problem with that answer, as Rashi points out. And that is, Rabbi Yehuda also quoted Shmuel before on the Mishnah to say, Bameh Devarim Amurim Basuka B'Taharot. So it means that Rabbi Yehuda did say this before. So why is he saying now that, well, it's okay, you know, it's true, Rabbi Chanina ben Atikva says, that she needs to check herself? You've only answered these two ma'amarim. But there's three things that Shmuel said, not two things. A, he said about the Mishnah, and that was Rabbi Yehuda. That we answered by saying, well, it's the same statement, really. Okay, but it was said by Rabbi Yehuda, so you can't answer me. Whoever said that didn't say that. Rabbi Yehuda said that over there. And he said that the Mishnah that says that a woman has to check herself before sleeping with her husband is dafka referring to a woman that's a sukkah b'taharat. So how can you say that it's not redundant? According to him, it's redundant. And he's the author of the statement. So Rashi explains that statement earlier was not a psak that was mechayev anything. It was a psak that pattered. All he said was, look, don't make the mistake of thinking that anybody was going to be mechayev you to do a bedika if you weren't a sukkah b'taharis. That's all he said. So that was a pirush on the Mishnah. It wasn't saying, and we paskin like that, you have to do a bedika. All he was saying is, don't misunderstand the Mishnah. Over here, where he's coming to tell you halacha lemaisa, how to act. So he's saying, look, Shmuel said, for all intents and purposes, if you're being a sukkah b'taharot, then we actually do paskin like Reb Chanina ben Atikva, because you're doing that anyway. Not that you would need to do it for Baalah. So he's much more makel than Reb Chanina ben Atikva. But that we would never ask. I mean, to say the pirush that Shmuel gave on the Mishnah is not a kasha, that's trivial. It's only where it's telling you the same exact thing. Hadran alach shamay omer.